Good evening, everyone, and welcome
to another issue
of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show.
This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The Warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 29. The warrior Barrier opens his eyes. He has been awoken by a message coming over the speakers in the room, but Barrier is not paying it any attention. He is in the medical room of the facility of Dr. Ibrahim, where the oddest experiments were done on people and animals. He lays on a medical bed, thinking back on the strangeness of the situation. For him, just a few days ago, he was on a ship in a totally different reality. He had just rescued the warrior Michael off of an alien world and was headed home. He remembers how Michael was so sick and worried. He remembers how his godson Herod tried to help. Herod was only a boy, but he claimed that he was a warrior that could help. No one believed the child, but then he began shining. He shone a light that took Michael back to a place that Michael described as being here. He described this facility. Everyone thought that Herod must have triggered a memory in Michael, but Michael claimed that he was really here. He said that he was kind of watching, but then things changed. No one can explain exactly what happened, but somehow it has happened again. This time, it is a bit different. Herod has taken Barrier to the alternate reality of Michael, and it is at the time just after the period Michael remembered. Barrier hears the message over the speakers again. It is saying something about the number 29. He cannot quite make it out. He tries to focus on it and realizes that a lizard man, is standing in front of him, staring into his eyes. Barrier takes his fist and swings at the lizard. The lizard moves out of the way.
Whoa, I don't want to fight. What are you doing? I had to check your mind and see how all of this came about. I checked your memories.
If you ever play around with my head again, then I will kill you.
I'll have to take you up on that sometime. But right now, I think we have to work together. This boy Herod has put us in a very dangerous place, where we do not belong. We have to get out of not only this room, but this reality. The only way that I know of to do that is to find the boy, Herod, again.
If your lizards have not killed him.
It is not my men that are to be worried about. It is these dark ones. They may have killed the boy.
Barrier just turns away.
From your memory, it seems like this period of time is just after the warriors rescued Michael and Kelly. from this place. Do you know of anything that happened after this period that might be helpful to us?
I can't think of anything that Michael mentioned.
Are you sure?
Well, I can't.
I can look into your memories again.
Barrier's eyes flash anger.
I've told you what I would...
Understood. What is 29?
Barrier listens close to the message. He realizes that he cannot understand it. It is in the Eblin language. The only word he can make out is 29.
It is the message. I can't understand it.
The message is 29?
Bullet snickers, seemingly amused.
Then let's try to get out of this room.
The door is locked?
If it were open, then I would have gone out of it.
The door to the room opens. Barrier and Bullet just look at each other.
Well, let's get out of here before it shuts again.
We don't know who opened the door, let alone why. And you just want to rush through the door?
Bullet doesn't pay Barrier any attention. He just goes through the open door. Barrier sits for a moment. Then he gets up and rushes through the door. There is a corridor leading left and right. He looks down the corridor, but does not see Bullard in either direction.
That Bullard is pretty fast. Now do I go left or right? 50-50 chance. I'll go right.
He passes several rooms. One of them catches his eye. It is a room that has several cages in it.
The room of cages that Michael mentioned.
Barrier enters the room and walks past the cages. They have been emptied of bodies, but the smell is still somewhat there. Barrier hears the squawks of what sounds like birds around one of the corners. He peeks and sees a group of Valarons eating worms off the floor.
This is too weird.
He decides not to disturb them and turns around to leave the room. He is startled to see a humanoid creature standing there in the doorway.
Who are you?
The creature replies, 29, in the language of the Ebla. Then it turns and runs.
Wait, I'm not going to hurt you.
Barrier runs to the door and looks down the corridor. He sees the creature running. Barrier gives chase. The creature seems too fast. It is leaving Barrier behind. Out of breath, Barrier gives up and stops. The creature turns around and sees that Barrier is not chasing. It runs back to Barrier and again speaks in the language of the Ebla. It seems to start repeating the number 29 over and over again.
I can't understand you.
He morphs into Sven, and then motions for Barrier to follow him as it begins to run. Barrier chases again. He tries to keep up. He feels that the creature is trying to let him keep up. Barrier is actually catching up.
Wait, talk to me.
The creature does not stop. It continues to run, but at a much slower pace. Finally, Barrier is close enough to lunge for it. When he does, Sven disappears and Barrier falls forward into a force field. The force field knocks him backwards and he yells out as he hits the floor. Ah! He sits there looking down the corridor on the other side of the force field. Many of the rooms on either side of the corridor open up. From those rooms come many possessed soldiers, and some of the dark mists also come. They rush headlong towards Barrier, and they too cry. crash into the force field. Barrier gets up and runs in the opposite direction. He doesn't know where he'll go, but he just runs. The lights in the corridor begin to flicker. Finally, he stops as he hears banging coming from one of the rooms. He stops and begins to shine. Slowly, he walks to the door and it slides open.
Bollard!
Bollard is looking at a view screen of the outside. A storm is raging.
Bollard, the Dark Ones are inside this facility.
I know. That is the message. That is what the message is saying. 29.
Bullard snickers again.
Your Ebla is pretty poor, warrior.
What are you doing?
I'm seeing if I can get this computer to scan for the boy you were with.
Where's the lady that helped us? Carol.
I am not concerned about her.
She is familiar with this place. She should be able to find Herod.
She's just a dumb soldier who apparently attacked this island and appears to have gotten her butt kicked.
She saved us.
Bolo's eyes show how frustrated he is with Barrier. He angrily points to another computer and then continues to work on the computer that he is on. Barrier looks at the console. There is a light blinking. Barrier is not sure of the meaning.
How is it that you understand computers when you are just a dumb lizard?
Bullard glares over at Barrier, but then continues working. Barrier clicks the blinking light, and another set of view screens come on. They show various areas throughout the facility. On one of them is Carol. She is laying on the floor. She seems to be hurt. Barrier starts to tell Bollard, but he knows that Bollard does not care and will not help. Barrier prints out directions to the room. He looks over to Bollard, but Bollard is avoiding his glance. With the map in hand, Barrier heads out into the flickering lights of the corridor. He doesn't realize that the last of the internal force fields is going down. Nor is he aware of the invisible eyes upon him. Next time, a strange little girl.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show. This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 30, A Strange Little Girl. Kelly is from an alternate reality. Right now, she is locked in her own mind. It is the only piece of her she controls after her body was taken over by one of the Dark Ones. She is running away from it by going further and further back into her memories. Right now, she is in a particularly frightening time. With her planet being overrun by the Dark Ones, she remembers how she hid in the medical facility of a great ship on that planet. She was trying to save the life of a known Reban from Earth named Cam. There is no power in the medical facility. Everything is being generated by a robot named Chrome 6. Unfortunately, even he seems to be becoming depleted. The lights are going out, leaving Kelly alone in the dark with only her remorse for a dying Cam.
Chrome 6, are you okay?
The robot does not respond. Kelly knows that he is completely drained. She thinks as hard as she can, but cannot figure out a way to help him. Then her concern for Chrome 6 changes to concern for herself. She hears footsteps in the darkness. They are a bit away, but they are hurried and moving towards the medical facilities. Kelly's heart pounds as she knows there is nowhere to run and nothing she can do. That's when the unexpected happens. A little girl with wild hair and large golden eyes comes and stands beside Kelly. Kelly gasps at the little figure in the dark.
Don't be afraid. Who are you? How did you get here? I'm Griselle, and I am just trying to understand the game. What game? The game you are playing. I don't understand. You seem scared. I am scared. Not to mention you, the room is so dark, and there are footsteps approaching. The Dark Ones have taken my world, and now maybe they're coming for me. But deep down, you know that the footsteps are not the Dark Ones coming. I'm confused. What do you mean? Let the game continue a bit more.
The little girl is then gone, and Kelly finds herself immersed in fear again as she focuses on the footsteps that have nearly reached her room. She crouches in the shadows, hoping not to be seen. Then the door is forced open. In walks Dr. Vlad.
Kelly, where are you?
Kelly feels relief at first, but then she wonders how Dr. Vlad could have gotten here. She wonders, has he been taken over by the Dark Ones? Fear again grips Kelly, and so she doesn't move. Dr. Vlad does not see Kelly, but his eyes do see Chrome 6. He rushes over to Chrome 6 and begins adding something to him. When he does, Chrome 6 becomes animated.
Ah, Chrome 6. Your energy systems are vulnerable to the drain of the Dark Ones, but you do have some shielding. Why were you completely drained so quickly?
I am also powering other systems. With those words, Chrome 6 again begins powering the room.
Why?
To help me. The doctor sees Cam and begins looking at him.
This man is in bad shape. I do not have the knowledge to help him. Crone 6, what can we do to help?
We can ask Kelly.
She is not here.
Kelly realizes that a dark one wouldn't care.
I am here.
Thank goodness, Kelly. I was worried that you had not made it.
Doctor? Doctor, how did you get here? The Citadel was surrounded by the Dark Ones.
The Dark Ones are gone.
What? How?
Kelly moves over to Cam and starts to help him as best she can.
I can't say. I have a theory, but I do not know for sure. It was amazing. It was truly amazing.
Doctor, you are not making sense. But you did say the Dark Ones are gone. Can we get to the Citadel? I can better help Cam there.
Definitely. But we will have to hurry. The Dark Ones will certainly return to this world.
They're completely gone from Reba?
Yes. But there are others making their way here.
How is this possible?
I have told you. I do not understand. But it was one of the warriors. He shone like a warrior. The planet Artonia must have come up with a way to fight back.
Dr. Ibrahim is there.
Yes. He is probably the source of their success. But I am not sure.
I have Cam ready to move.
Good. I have some changes that I am going to make to Crone 6 while you help Cam.
The scene seems to disappear as Kelly comes back to herself and she realizes that she has been watching a memory. She immediately begins heading into an older memory. But before she does, she sees Griselle.
See? You knew that the steps coming were not one of the Dark Ones. You knew because it was a memory that you were living. Yes, it was a memory. So what is the game? It does not seem so fun. It is not fun. I am trying to hide. Are you hiding from the one with the red eyes? Yes, he's going to kill me. Don't worry, I'll stop him. Wait, you are just a little girl. I don't even know who you are. I told you, I'm Griselle. I know that. But why are you here? I'm just playing. I saw you and decided to come here. Are you some type of energy creature? No. Then where is your body? It's at home. Where is home? In the forest? We all live in the forest. All? Your family? Yes. Then we have neighbors too. They live there too.
Okay.
Why does the red-eyed one want to kill you?
He eats people.
Don't worry. I won't let him eat you.
You should not try to stop him. You will get hurt. I can handle him.
I am strong! What memory shall we watch?
We? Griselle, you must go home. I don't want you around when this beast comes.
No! I want to see another memory.
I want to speak to your parents.
No, they can't come here.
Are you lying to me? You can come here, so why can't they?
Because only the children can do what I do.
Listen to me. Go home.
No! Stop it!
My emotions hurt you?
You hurt me! Why did you hurt me?
There's such anger in Griselle's voice. Griselle's big eyes get even bigger. Their eerie yellow color almost glows as it becomes larger. Kelly can feel part of herself being wrapped in the light. Then the light dies down.
You were trying to protect me. Your intention was to scare me away so that I would not be hurt.
I am just a frail woman, and I hurt you? The one with the red eyes is much stronger. He will kill you.
That would be mean.
You shouldn't read my thoughts. They are private.
I'm sorry. I was mad.
I forgive you. But memories are also private. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's wrong for you to see them unless I let you. Okay?
I understand. I'm sorry.
Now, you should go home.
But I want to play here with you. My home is so boring.
Grisel, you do not have my permission to be here.
Okay, I will leave.
The little girl turns and begins to walk away. Then she stops.
I'm sorry, Kelly. I looked at other memories of yours.
It's okay. Now go home.
Who is the man with the crooked wand?
I don't know who you are talking about.
The man who killed your father.
I don't know what you are talking about. I don't have a memory like this.
You do.
Kelly just stares at the little girl. Next time, no more.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show. This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner. And these are his tales.
Issue 31. No More. The warrior Michael comes from a different reality. In his reality, there was a man considered to be a great hero named Dr. Vlad. He was a man that did so much for his people, the known Reba. He was at the forefront of the battle against the Dark Ones. He saved so many lives, including Michael and Kelly. The reality that Michael is in now also has a Dr. Vlad. This Dr. Vlad is no hero. He was a cruel, self-serving scientist that created great weapons purely out of pride. But still, This man is a great genius, just like his counterpart. So taking that into account, what Vlad did in the other reality, the people have decided to try to use him to create defenses against the Dark Ones. This is not an easy thing to do, since Vlad is completely paralyzed. The help of a warrior named Eleni seems to have been the solution. Her light is an intimate touch. She can't quite hear his thoughts, but she can feel his wishes. She can use her light to move the limbs of Dr. Vlad. He now stands before the council being questioned.
So, you think that I can help you?
The leader of the Council of the Warriors People, Kyle, answers.
I do not, but the known Reba do.
Your confidence in me is so flattering.
This is not a funny thing for us. We are not joking. I have no problem in just finally killing you. But we have a deal with you. You have agreed to help us.
And you have agreed to give me back my mobility.
Yes, we have.
No! I want it to be permanent. I help you, and you can betray me.
Don't try to play hardball with me. I don't care about you. But I am the only thing that is protecting you from being killed right now.
Kyle motions to one of the council members. The person activates a view screen. In the streets, many Artonians are protesting. The anger is evident in their eyes. Many of their fathers or grandfathers or their ancestors have been killed by the creations of Dr. Vlad. They carry signs proclaiming that Vlad should be killed. Some carry 3D signs that simply display the theme of the protests. No more. Some other signs say, no more Vlad, no more war, no more biogenetic temporal bombs, no more Mabus. But they all say, no more of something that Dr. Vlad is famous for. Dr. Vlad shudders with fear. It is a movement he has not made in quite a while.
I see.
We are studying the problem. You have full access to our research and full control over it. We just need you to help out against the Dark Ones.
So, what is it that you need me to do?
There's a robot called Crone 8. It was transferred here in exchange for us reviving you.
Dr. Vlad's eyes get big as the remains of the robot Crone 8 are brought in.
I will need a lab to work on this.
Of course. We have set up a lab for you already. We have stocked it with some of the equipment that survived you and our tumultuous past.
Well, that shall certainly be useful.
The guards at Eleni begin to lead Dr. Vlad out of the building.
Oh, doctor.
Yes?
There's one more thing. We went through everything in your new lab. We were very thorough. So if you're even thinking of trying to use a weapon against us, then you should think again.
But of course.
Under his breath, Dr. Vlad mumbles.
How can I use a weapon against you or anyone if I do not even have control of my movements? Cal, you are a true imbecile.
In the 10th great city of the known Reba, Beast, Michael, and 4 Garmaki are trapped in a building with poor, virus-ridden souls all around.
Michael, will you stop standing there, staring out that window?
I am tired of just standing here too. I want to do something.
Don't be a fool.
Kelly has saved my life so many times. I have to save her. Beast looks at Michael's savage eyes.
It's more than that.
She is my friend. When I was younger, she hid me and kept me fed.
She kept me out of the reaches of a madman who would have killed me. I have done my best to protect her. I have always been there for her, like she was there for me. Beast just stares. Michael knows he must give more information. She is the only thing left from my world. She is the only one who understands what it is like.
It is more than that, too. You?
Yes, I do. But she does not feel the same way.
How do you know?
She told me. Now what are you going to do here? We have to save Kelly, Summoner, and get to Uro.
Don't forget about us!
Forget Uro. We no longer have the soldiers staring over our shoulders. We can do what we want. We track down the Summoner, and they capture Kelly if she's still here.
Hey, don't forget about us!
Any idea how we're going to do that?
Sure. Just include us in your plans. We'd like to get out of here, but I'd like to pick up a winter hat before we do.
I was asking how we're going to find Kelly and Summoner.
I was answering how you could help me, my wife Millie, and my two kids, Dora and Flora. They are cute, aren't they? Some Garmaki are not so cute at this age. It's an awkward time for us.
But my children...
Shut up! We are trying to figure out a way out to get out of here. I was just trying to be courteous. I don't know how the people are on your planet you come from. But here, when someone meets someone new, they introduce...
Maybe we should head to the roof and try to get a better view.
Agreed.
The group goes to the roof to get a better vantage point of the ground. There is no lighting in the halls or the staircase of the building, and there are the occasional moans of the afflicted, so the trip is rather spooky. But they do make it to the roof without incident. Once they get to the roof, their attention is not focused on the ground, but on the sky. Weapons fire streaks across the sky through the unnatural darkness.
What in the world?
Appears to be a pitched battle going on up there.
Excellent analysis, you genius.
In the skies overhead, deadly beams of light streak up from the cities towards the three attacking mystery ships. Two of the ships block the beams from hitting the third. One ship is completely destroyed. Another is mostly destroyed and goes crashing to the ground. The final ship retreats. It turns around and heads back into space. It does not get far, though. A stream of ships from the great cities manage to surround it. It seems like all of the Armadas of Reba are in the air. The known Reba do not ask questions, and they do not try to capture the ship. They just destroy it. Out in space, an Antonian ship watches the devastating retaliation of the known Reba. It is the fourth of four that came here to infiltrate the planet of Reba. But they realize that they do not have a chance of getting through the defenses at this point. Reba is looking for enemies, so the lone ship turns around to join the three other Artonian ships that are waiting. But before it can get any distance, it detects two known Reba patrols that are sweeping space. The ship radios back to the other ships.
It looks like we're going to have to stick around for a while. Understood. Maybe you guys could leave without us. We can't. The other three mystery ships have suddenly come to life. They seem to be waiting for something. What are they waiting for? I don't... Wait. Hold on.
There is several minutes of silence
The fourth ship realizes it is finally safe to try to move away. She turns her engines on and heads towards the rest of her group. As she begins, she gets messages again.
We're back. They seem to be interested in the fleet of the dead ships that are headed this way.
They're scanning, I think.
Two of the ships are tractoring the lifeless ships. What is the third ship doing? It is turning toward our ship. Hello? Hello? Are you there? We are under...
No more information comes across. Anxiously, ship four moves a bit faster towards the coordinates of the other ships. Back on Artonia, Dr. Vlad arrives at his new lab. He is pleased to see the equipment that was left there for him. He sees that there truly are no weapons left here, but there is one piece of equipment he knows has potential.
What is it, Doctor? Why are you so happy?
It does my heart good to see my old equipment again. Later, after a few hours of tinkering with the robot and the equipment, Eleni is nearly asleep from continuously shining. She is one of the few who can do this. Crone 8 is powered up but not moving.
I recognize my work. I recognize my way of thinking.
Dr. Vlad begins typing on a keypad trying to communicate. Crone 8 begins to speak. Master, you are alive.
Quiet. I need for you to do a self-diagnostic. Do you have record of a warrior named Slide?
I have no such record.
You have to.
I do not.
I was obviously working on a way to transfer souls across distances, just as I did here.
That is correct.
Ah, that is what I needed. Is that system currently functional?
Checking. Yes, it is functional.
Can you transfer that woman's soul into me?
He points to Eleni. Yes.
Then do it. Do it now.
Next time, the skies overhead.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another issue of The Summoner. I am your host and writer, Walter Pierce. My website is galleryofthemind.com. Please check it out if you have the time. Also, if you want to contact me, my email address is webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. Again, that's webmaster@galleryofthemind.com. All right, on with the show.
This is the story of a group called the Warriors. They are blessed by the ancestors. The ancestors' light shines through them as a power of light. The light, the shine, can be varied a bit, which slightly changes the power. The Warriors use their power to protect their people on the planet Artonia in the Yellow Realm. Their tales are spellbinding adventures just beyond the reach of even imagination. Among these warriors is one even more unique. He is unique because he is half human. He is called the Summoner, and these are his tales.
Issue 32, The Skies Overhead. The 10th great city of the known Reba. used to be a beautiful seat of power. It was an historical city that was a place of pride for the known Reba. Now, there are fires everywhere, and diseased creatures run about infecting everybody that they can. With all of this happening on the ground, the eyes of Beast and Michael are focused on the skies overhead. The skies overhead have been a fierce battleground for the known Reba against some unknown foe. The battle finally appears to be over. The known Reba have prevailed. But there still appear to be fireworks as the glittering dusty debris drifts down. The sight is enough to keep the attention of Beast, Michael, and their Garmaki companion. They are so focused that they do not see that Kelly and the Dark One Padian are headed their way. The Garmaki Croson notices first. He and the other Garmaki are screaming and scurrying around the rooftop. They finally run into a corner and cluster together. What in the...
In the air, your girlfriend and Red Eyes are coming straight for us.
Both start cautiously backing away from the edge of the roof. Keep the Dark One off me, and I will get Kelly.
How exactly do I do that?
Kelly lands on the roof, and Padian hovers just above it.
Hello, Michael. I've missed you.
Kelly, fight the Dark One.
You know that she cannot win. No one wins. But you can join her.
Michael, get away from them.
What do you mean?
Padian here needs a body.
Kelly moves closer to Michael.
Michael, get away from them.
Don't be afraid, Michael. Join us. There would be no pain if you give yourself over willingly. And you will always be at Kelly's side.
Kelly reaches out and touches Michael's hand.
This is what you want. You want to be together. And you can be.
Kelly strokes Michael's hair and kisses his cheek. Yes. Yes, I do. Michael drops his gun.
You can't be serious. You're an idiot. It's lying to you.
Padian starts moving closer. All the Garmaki form a line and start tiptoeing towards the stairs.
Just give in. There'll be no more running. There'll be no more hardship. Just relax.
Michael is afraid, but he does not move. Padian moves in closer. There is a clacking sound as Beast aims his gun.
The gun will not harm Padian.
It is not him that I will kill.
Beast, no!
Then it is not him that we will take.
Padian swooshes towards Beast. Reflexively, Beast fires at the approaching Dark One. Unfortunately for Beast, the shots do not affect Padian. The shots go harmlessly through the creature. Shine! Beast shines before the creature enters him. The Dark One seems to bounce off of him. They cannot enter you while you are shining. Padian surrounds Beast with his darkness. Through the darkness, four lights can be seen. One is of Beast shining, and the three others are of wolves that have appeared out of nowhere. The wolves bite and tear at the darkness, but there is no effect on the darkness. But there is an effect on Beast.
I don't understand it. I'm getting weaker and weaker. It is like my light is being suffocated. It is becoming harder and harder to shine.
Michael moves to help Beast, but Kelly jumps on his back and tries to wrestle him to the ground. Michael removes Kelly as gently as he can, but then he has to throw her to the ground. Michael can't go further to hurt her. He just hesitates. Standing there, he just looks at her on the ground. She then turns to look at him. Her eyes are red with the evil of a dark one inside her. The shock freezes Michael, and Kelly howls. There is seemingly no one to help her. There is seemingly nothing that can help her. But there is. In the skies overhead, Coonspar gathers himself and focuses on Michael. He swishes downward toward Michael. Michael looks up and sees the red eyes heading for him. The one way to stop this is to do exactly what Michael does, and that is shine. The effectiveness of the ploy always depends on the power of the warrior. Shining has always been very effective for Michael, because his power actually affects the Dark Ones. The Dark One freezes in midair, and then is gently blown away on the wind. Kelly is also motionless. She, too, has been mesmerized by the light. Michael smiles because everything seems a little brighter, with Coonspar blowing away. Michael chuckles to himself at how foolish the Dark One looks, floating on the wind. But he quickly draws himself back to the reality of the situation. He knows that that mesmerization will not last for long, even though he used his most powerful shine, the only one that will affect the Dark Ones. Then Michael notices that there is still movement. He looks over to Beast and sees that Padian is gone. Beast is coughing and convulsing wildly. His gun lies on the ground beside him. The three wolves are crying and whimpering, looking at Beast. They don't seem to know what to do. Then they just violently disappear, one by one. No! 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 Beast stares at Michael. Then he starts to move towards him.
Ah, Michael. It looks like you are the last warrior again. Have you ever thought? Maybe you are the cause of all the warriors dying.
Michael rushes Beast and then punches him in the stomach. Beast counters with an uppercut to Michael's chin. The two begin to slug it out on top of the roof. Finally, Michael shines. But Beast does not freeze. The only result of the shine is that Michael becomes tired.
Aren't you forgetting that I'm in the body of a warrior? I am in the body of a warrior that you gave me.
I didn't give you anything. Michael swings wildly at Beast's face, but Beast dodges the blows.
Like I said, you always let the warriors down.
No!
Then how are you always the last one left? You nearly gave yourself to me. Your fellow warrior tried to help you, and now I have you. It is always that way with you.
Michael tries to rush Beast again, but Beast moves out of the way and pushes Michael to the ground. Michael is tired from shining, and Padian is getting stronger from the surrounding negative emotions. Somehow, Michael pops up and catches Beast in the jaw. Beast is knocked back a couple of steps.
Look, even now. Kelly.
No.
Look at your world. Look at everyone that you've known and loved.
Oh.
And now, you've even brought destruction to this world.
Michael falls to his knees in despair, and Padian drinks in the despair. He feels himself exuding the darkness.
You are pathetic, Michael. You are truly pathetic.
Beast walks over to one of the guns lying on the roof. He picks it up, and then he aims it at Michael's head.
Goodbye, warrior.
Then he fires. But he completely misses as he falls. He falls head first into the metal roof of the building. It seems that his feet are completely entangled in the web-like strings of Croson.
Hello, Michael!
Michael is still on his knees with his head down. The Dark One howls in pain as Kelly and Coonspar gather their senses. Coonspar moves back to the building.
Come down! Come on, you big baby!
Michael does get up. He is no longer thinking. He is simply following Croson's command.
Shall I go get him?
No, Coonspar. Let Padian do it.
Padian smiles and nods, and then heads for the stairs that Croson and Michael just went down.
I need you to get me to a working doorway machine.
I know where there is a working doorway machine. I can feel the electricity of the doors, opening and closing, in only one place in this city.
Then lead the way.
Coonspar and Kelly head for the building that houses the generals of the great cities of Reba. When a warrior is taken over by a Dark One, the results are never predictable. The same is true here with Padian's takeover of Beast. Padian feels the dark around him to the point he feels like he can shine darkness. And he does. Three wolves of pure darkness appear. They have red eyes and are growling. Their one desire is to give darkness and pain. The darkness must be extended. Next time, Invisible Eyes.